A Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 31. And everybody sighed because it's Mother's Day, and of course you go to Proverbs 31. I want to give a full disclosure. The truth of the life of a bivocational pastor is this. And if the bivocational pastor has four children, in this case, that would be me. The truth is that I study as much as I can when I can for the sermons. This week, I had to do a wedding. And sometimes that happens, and it was in Parkersburg. It was my nephew, and it was wonderful. And so my plan was... And I already, you know, I'm praying throughout the week and I'm thinking about, okay, what are we, you know, I'm asking the Lord, what are we talking about? Normally it's expository. We're going through verse by verse, so this part's a little easier. I just go to the next set of verses and look at that. But it's Mother's Day, and just praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And had an experience. My plan was to come home from the wedding last night and stay up late and get everything ready for this morning. Well, on my way here, back from Parkersburg, Sophia had a really severe and massive seizure on the way back home. So we were providentially right beside the Holzer Clinic Hospital, and so we were able to get there. Long story short, which I'm going to share a little bit about, this is going to tie in. Long story short, I was at the hospital until 2 something a.m., and then I still had to drive into Chesapeake, so I got to bed around 3:30 last night. My sermon that I was going to put together did not really happen, but I want to share, I'm sharing that with you, full disclosure of what you're about to hear. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season, so this is one of those type of moments. But there's something that happened while Sophie was having a seizure that is specific to Mother's Day that I'm going to be sharing with you all today. So I've been emotional over the last couple weeks. I don't know why. I keep crying every time I'm talking up here. I'm trying not to be that way, but I may have some crying take place this morning. But Proverbs 31 was screaming in the life of my wife, who you see she's not here on Mother's Day. That's really weird. She's just home with the babies today. The seizure was pretty intense, so she's just staying home and being a mom on Mother's Day, and that's what she wants to do. I want to read out of Proverbs 31. Verses 10 through 31, which is a poem. It's the last half of Proverbs 31. It's a poem. It's an acrostic. It's the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of these verses or each one of these sentences or stanzas begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And what's the significance of that? The Hebrew folks love to do this. A lot of the book of Psalms, and there's a lot of these Hebrew acrostic poems. It's got a poetic quality to it. And I realize as I read this that for many women, Proverbs 31 can be a blessing, but it also has been used kind of as a club. How many women know what I mean? How many of you familiar with Proverbs 31 can be used like a club? Well, this is what a real woman looks like, and you ain't it, so sit down, you failure. So that is not what Scripture is meant to do. Scripture can be a sword that cuts to the marrow of your bone. That doesn't sound great. That's what Hebrews says it does. And it separates and it shows us who we are. But God's cuts are always surgical, therefore they're healing. When the sword of the Spirit becomes the bludgeon of condemnation, something is wrong. So nothing this morning out of this beautiful description of a woman of strength should be construed as a bludgeon if you recognize, okay, I'm there, but I'm not there, I'm definitely not there. Instead, you should say, this is what God is showing me as a woman that I can be in Him. There are, of course, going to be deficiencies in all of us. Just like every time I read the Scripture, I realize my own deficiencies. We all do. But it's meant to encourage and strengthen us towards what God is calling us, not fill you with hopelessness that it'll never happen in my life. Does that everybody understand what I'm saying? So let's read this, and I want to encourage all the moms this morning. Verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you that it is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to separate soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. God, separate out from us this morning, and especially for these moms, separate the chaff in the wheat. Separate out the world's expectations that are placed on us, that are heavy burdens. And Lord, leave only that which is godly and pleasing to you. Lord, we pray that you would do that in our hearts this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, having told you that my sermon preparation is minimal, let me just share with you, off the cuff, so to speak, what I did feel in my heart to share this morning. Last night, when we were coming back from the wedding and Sophia had the seizure, we had two vehicles, and it was already late, and I was on the phone with Jennifer just to keep her awake and vice versa. Probably more so her to keep me awake is probably how that really goes. And as we're talking, and I'm driving behind her, in the middle of that conversation, she screams, "Sophie, start breathing," which is not something you're expecting to hear in the middle of the conversation. And I knew immediately what had happened. Sophie has had, she was diagnosed with epilepsy a few years ago, and it's a very minor form. And she's not really had a lot of seizures recently, and they've always been 25, 30 second seizures at most. This one was not the same type of seizure. This was a massive, horrible, terrifying thing to watch. And Jennifer, so moms, put yourself in Jennifer's shoes. She's in the front seat, and she stiffens up like a board, and she starts shaking on one side of her body, and she draws up, and her face is all twisted, and she's frothing at the mouth, the saliva. If you've never seen a major seizure, I mean, it's terrifying to witness, especially when it's your daughter. And so we stop the cars, and I get out, and I saw something from my wife that screamed Proverbs 31 to me. If you will notice, it says in verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. In the context, this is about the fact that this woman works and she does things in the home and she does things in the marketplace, because the next verse is her merchandise is profitable. This is not an image of some barefoot and pregnant woman that people sometimes try to portray that the Bible is teaching. That's not what it's teaching, ladies. It's teaching that she knows her business and she knows what she's doing. She takes care of her home, she takes care of the kids, takes care of merchandise, takes care of servants in the house. She's industrious, she's smart, she's good at what she does. She's making herself strong, and I think that is a reference to the physicality that's needed to run a house. If you've never picked up a bunch of babies, you don't realize how strong you become, right, moms? I mean, you're carrying babies and answering phones and doing all the crazy stuff. But it's also, I believe, telling you, that there is a strength that you must have as a mom that God's able to give you to be and to do what you need to be and do as a mom. And I include someone like Ashley, who's about to have a baby and already's got one. And I include someone like my mother, who is here, who's already had all the babies she's going to have and is enjoying the grandbabies that her babies are having. She's still a mom. Even still, she's still a mom. And her children still look to her as mom, just like the grandkids still look to her as grandmother. And it never leaves. Moms, have you ever ceased being a mom? That if all the kids have left the house, did that quit? No. You're still mom. There's a strength required, and that strength moves and changes as time goes on. That strength adjusts around the scenarios that you're confronted with. But the strength is not only your doing. If there's anything that I think we need to learn as self-sufficient, independent Americans, by golly, I've got bootstraps and I will pull them up type of thinking. Not against that kind of thinking. But the danger of it is that it's all up to you. What we have to see is that the strength, the source of the strength, is Jesus. And you find out, in moments like last night, what you're really relying on when everything else is stripped away. What are you relying on as your source of strength? I honestly, and Jen and I were texting because I was at the emergency room. She had to get home because complicating issues. Abby had been in Pittsburgh on a field trip at the zoo with her class, and they stayed in the museum. They had all this fun. But Abby, she's at home by herself waiting for us to get home. So we got to get somebody to the house. So Jen took all the kids, and I stayed with Sophie at the ER. We're texting back and forth, and I told her that I think God gave me a sermon watching you. Here's what Jennifer did. When I got out of the car and ran up, and the last thing I'd heard her screaming was, "Sophie, breathe," which is horrible. When I got in the car, Jennifer had wrapped her arms around Sophie, who's still stiff as a board, pulled her on her side. That's what you're supposed to do in a seizure. And she is praying. It's not the wild, panicked prayer, even though there was definitely an element of that. It is not the wild, panicked prayer of someone who is crying out to an unknown source. She was stripped of, I can't help. I'm on Route 7 at close to midnight in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's here. I'm calling 911. And Jennifer is calling Jesus. And until you're in those type of situations, you don't realize the strength that is there until you get punched in the mouth. When you get punched in the mouth, it's when you realize if you've got a glass chin and you're going to break, fall apart, or you realize God stands up on the inside of you, and now you are operating in a strength not your own. I see a lot of moms nodding their heads. She held Sophie, and the prayer had no decorum. It had no formality. It had no cadence. It had a strength of a mother saying, Jesus, help Sophie now. It was a beautiful thing to see in the middle of a terrifying experience. She's twisted up and her eyes are doing things that looks like a video game. I mean, her eyes are going all over the place. And you see your little girl who's so full of life running around, and she's just twisted up in this seizure, and we're calling on Jesus. And Jennifer starts worshiping. She's holding Sophie. She's cried out. She starts to worship. It's not because she's a worship leader. It's because she's a mom who has dressed herself in the strength of the Lord. And she's got, we have in this moment, nothing else but God. You have the choice, every one of us do, in these type of moments, and not all of them are seizures or physical, they can be any number of things. You have a choice in that moment to say, do I believe that God is God? Do I believe that God is here? Or am I now just going to panic and show that what I really believe is that I've got to figure this out? Jennifer started worshiping and singing over Sophie and praying and holding her. And I've gotten off the phone and I was praying. And we looked at each other, and Jennifer, her face was shattered, Jennifer's face, in that terrible, oh my gosh, what's happening? Will this stop? Because it lasted 3 minutes. 3 minutes might as well be 12 hours in the middle of this type of thing. Because you're like, when will this stop? This can't continue. This has got to stop. And she just kept singing and praying. And then Sophie started to come out of the seizure. The first thing, as it was like a computer rebooting. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody come out of a seizure. It's like everything's coming, all the systems have got to come back online. The very first thing Sophie said, she was telling us she was sorry. She felt bad. She was like, stop. It's not something to be sorry about. But she looked at Jennifer because she could hear everything. So a lot of seizures aren't this way, but Sophie's have been. She's cognizant of everything. And she looked at Jen and she said, God protected me. So not only did Jennifer call out on God, but Sophie knew and now knows really well, God is with me. So mom, she's just passing on to our daughter the strength that she knows is in God. She just passed on in a way. You can teach lessons, but the real lessons, I think, moms, that we teach are the ones that our children see us reacting to in faith. I want you to look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I cannot encapsulate how real this verse feels to me this morning. I'm not a woman. I'm surrounded by them in my house and at my job. If I could communicate how I feel in my heart about those first few words, ladies, please hear me. Stop trying so hard to be charming and beautiful. Just please listen to the pastor. Please, please listen. The world has sold you a horrible bill of goods. It's horrible. Every culture that has ever existed have had standards of beauty and standards of behavior for a woman. Every culture, and men. But women get the raw end of the deal, I personally believe, of what is expected of you. And churches inadvertently do this as well. When we use Proverbs 31 as a bludgeon, you need to be a size 2, and you need to get up before the sun rises and start making me some dinner. And it is a horrible thing to be trapped in a world system that says this is the way you're supposed to look, and this is the way you're supposed to act. I would submit to you that reading Cosmo magazine is probably more damaging than reading the Satanic Bible. Because the Satanic Bible is obviously wrong. Whereas Cosmo tickles parts of you in the insecurity areas that you want scratched. Oh, if I do this avocado thing on my face, then I will look like the girl they airbrushed on the cover. Oh, if I do this diet, paleo, whatever, then, if I have this plastic surgery, if I do this, if I do that, if I start saying these things, if I take this class and sound more sophisticated, just fill in the blank, whatever it is, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, it's poisonous to your soul. As a follower of Christ, it's poisonous because it magnifies charm and beauty. I feel that my wife is both charming and beautiful. I I spend a lot of time telling her to not pursue charm and beauty. I hope this makes sense. I want to like shake all of you with a loving shake and say, the world is lying to you. You are obsessing all throughout your 20s, all throughout your 30s, and then it modifies. How do I maintain in my 40s what I looked like in my 20s? It's like it never ends, ladies, does it? It never ends. It never goes away. When does it go away? It goes away when you look at this verse and say, I believe this more than what I believe the television is telling me and the world is telling me I'm supposed to be. Because they're not only telling you to be charming and beautiful, they're telling you to be strong and to be fierce. I get to a point when words reach a saturation level with me where I just start getting angry. And so if you use the word fierce, that's okay. That's totally all right. But I've heard that word used so much, and I think what it means is, as long as you look like the rest of the ladies in the world and care about the issues we care about in the way that we care about them, then you're fierce. Otherwise, you are some fundamentalist, barefoot and pregnant person that doesn't know anything. And they try to make women feel inferior. Am I wrong, ladies, at all? I mean, do you not fight with this all the time? Oh, I don't want to just be a stay-at-home mom. Oh, and then on the other side, condemning you for working because the family needs money. It comes like from 1,000 directions. It comes from everywhere. And if you haven't noticed, it is impossible for you to keep up with what the world's expecting of you. I don't know if you've noticed, but you are never going to win. You could think in your head of the prettiest, smartest friend you have, ladies, that are girls, that you would die to look like her, or to have her job, or to have whatever. You can think of that person, and I promise that if you got inside of her head, she feels the exact same way you do about somebody else. Now, I am preaching about a feather's worth of weight up against metric tons of data coming at you all the time, every day, that you've got to perform and you've got to look a certain way and you've got to say certain things and you've got to have certain opinions and all that. My godly pastoral counsel for all the moms this morning is, make verse 30 something you don't ever forget. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There is nothing in there about the hair color or length, or the size of your dress. There's nothing in there about which degree you got or which career level you reached or how organic you fed your babies. There's nothing in here about that. Fearing God would be the preeminent thing. Feed your kid Twinkies. Fear God. If you fear God and feed your kid Twinkies, you are a better mom than the mom who does not fear God and feeds them a $20,000 diet a year, because that's about what it takes if you follow what Cosmopolitan magazine says. And whatever other magazines are popular. I don't know which magazines are popular. I usually see those magazines in the aisle and have a sensation of wanting to rip them up. Because I have daughters that are looking at the covers of those magazines, and those magazine covers are telling my daughters subliminally, this is what you're supposed to be. It drives me insane. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Work out. Eat healthy. I'm not saying not to. I'm saying don't make that the obsessive desire and goal of your life. Because you're going to get old. Gravity works every time, 100% of the time. Gravity works. It's going to drag your body down. Men too. It's going to work. And if you spend all of your energy, think of the waste of your life to spend. How much energy are you spending in your mind trying to motivate yourself every day to look a certain way, every day to be a certain thing? How much energy is devoted to that? What if you bottled up all that energy and used it for Jesus? You'll probably lose weight that way because you'll be busy for Him. A woman who fears the Lord. Fear meaning reverential, oh my goodness, it's God. Fear. It's the fear that causes John to hit his face when he sees Jesus in the book of Revelation. It's the fear that causes Mary to hit her knees when she sees the angel telling her about the birth of a son. It is the fear that causes everybody in Scripture who encounters God to think, I'm dead. I am dead meat. And yet you find out in the midst of that fear of this holy, awesome God, these loving hands coming through it to embrace you. Proverbs chapter 9 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A woman who fears the Lord. If you would make verse 30 a mantra of your life, if you would recognize that the most, it's not that health and nutrition and raising your children, it's not that those things aren't important, but they should not be the gods that govern the decisions we make and the lives that we live. God should be the God that governs. What I saw last night from my wife, and I want to rise up this morning and call her blessed. I want to praise her publicly. And for all of the moms who fight the good fight of faith for their kids, and I know there are many, many, many moms in here who do. Fearing God is the most beautiful thing a woman does. It is the most charming thing that a woman does. It is the most intelligent thing a woman does. It is the most graceful thing that a woman does. It is the best thing that a woman does. And when you encounter a mom who fears the Lord, or a woman, you don't have to be a mom this morning, who fears the Lord, you're encountering somebody who is increasingly unique in our culture. We want the world to see us as the light of the world. Be a woman who cares more about God than you and the way you appear. And the weird thing that will happen is that you will appear as somebody that is worth listening to and somebody that we need advice from, and somebody that I want to be close to, and I want to know why she seems to be unaffected by the things that are affecting me. None of us are going to get this all right, by the way. It's okay if I just tell you that. None of you are going to get this all right. You're going to go out of here and feel pressure to look a certain way. I know that's true. But I want to give you a verse that you can just zero in on and realize that God has so much better for all of us, but moms and ladies in particular, so much better than what the world has to offer you. If I end right at noon, that means the sermon was clearly from Jesus, right? Moms, be encouraged. You're not your dress size. Please be encouraged. You're not your degree. You're not your career. You're not the perfection of how you raised your children. You're not any of the things. It's just too many blogs at this point. There's too many articles. There's too many voices speaking to you about what you should be. If I give any advice to people about to get married, like these two, if I can give any advice, it's make the Bible something you read more than a blog about the way you should be. Let God define who you are and not some magazine editor or Hollywood director or musician or any other cultural voice that's out there that's pounding into our face all the time. Let Scripture, let God define for all of us who we're supposed to be. We're getting ready to dismiss. This was going to be way prettier than it is. Because again, I got in really late. But this was Jennifer's idea. We normally give out flowers, but since they die so quickly, and it's nice that you get one, what we're going to do is, I've got some baskets here, and I'm going to bring them out here on the front stage, and we're going to have all the moms come pick out a little potted herb that is plantable. There's cilantro, there's basil. It actually smells really nice. It smelled like an Italian garden. Come grab one. You can take it home and plant it. Some of you are like, well, I'm going to put this on the windowsill and watch it die. If that's what you like to do with plants, that's fine. It's our gift. Some people just have a knack for not doing well with plants. Anybody like, okay, so, hey, look at this gift I got. It's dead. It's like it died within 3 seconds of me touching it. I don't know. It's like, if you've got a poisonous thumb rather than a green one, still take one. It's our way of saying, have something that endures. And some of these herbs, if you plant them, are aggressive and they will grow. If you get a big pot, they're kind of fun. And you go out, you feel very organic and culturally relevant. If you can go out into your herb garden and pick some cilantro and basil and make a meal, you're like, I am as organic and whatever else as you can possibly be. Sing a worship song while you do it, and your perfection as a person will be complete. You guys know that was a joke, okay. So I'm going to pray, we're going to dismiss, and I just want to say, I appreciate the mothers of this church. I appreciate the way that, as I've gotten to know different people over the years, the way that you center your heart on Christ and pray over your children and pray for your husbands and all the things that nobody else sees. God sees. And He's right there with you. He is your strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, I thank You for every mother that's here. I thank You, God, that You are the one that clothes them in strength and dignity. You are the one who fills them with joy and with laughter. You are the one that is the source of their strength. And I pray, God, that every mom would know it. I know there's moms in here that feel like they failed their kids. There's moms in here that feel like they're failing currently. Lord, let them know that You can redeem anything. You can fix anything. God, we are trusting in You, the Creator of all things, to help and to fix, to heal, to guide, to give wisdom. God, teach us the fear of the Lord so that we would be wise, all of us. Help us shine like lights in a dark place. I pray, God, that every mom would be encouraged and blessed as they leave today. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I'm going to bring out the herbs in their very decorative baskets. You are officially dismissed. Moms, come up here and get your stuff.